when you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Asian Action Cast. My name is Sam, and with me on the Kung Fu Couch tonight, we have Nathan. Hello, Nathan.
Virtual couch, but here I am.
And Mikey.
Virtually here.
Yes, we're all in the interwebs, projecting our astral selves to each other.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's just easier to get together on the virtual couch than arranging it in real lifetimes.
I would love to arrange it in real lifetimes, but I think COVID is still kind of it's going around, but not just that. There's that nasty flu going around at the moment. I got jabbed today.
Oh, you got the flu jab today?
I got the flu shot today.
Hey, you know what I heard? I heard they have rats tests now that actually give you COVID and flu results.
Yes, they do. I heard that too. You know, the other thing I heard today is what they asked me when I went in is whether or not I wanted a COVID shot as well.
And the flu jab?
Yeah, they wanted to do both at the same time. I was like, nah, I don't think I can because I had it in January, so it hasn't been 6 months. But I did find, I clarified with them, it's not like a maximum amount now. Every 6 months, you can just go get another shot.
Jesus, all right.
Yeah, but the thing actually, apparently it only lasts for about 3 months.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got it in January, so I'd be covered for my trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Nah, well, Sam doesn't do double penetration, so I would have said no. but we're not the flu cast.
No. Sorry. But no. Yeah, that's people got to know why we're doing it virtually. Also, I'm kind of feeling a bit mad because of it.
Oh, shit.
But anyway.
Headaches and stuff, that's what you meant.
Just feeling a bit like blurg. I don't know. My arm hurts too. But, you know, quit being a bitch. Let's talk about Young Master.
That's right. Because here on the Asian Action Cast, we watch the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. And then we review it, and really just walk down nostalgia lane for a movie that we just saw. And tonight is The Young Master.
1980.
Now, Nathan, you said before that if a top 10 Jackie film enters the fray, it's got to be the one. Where does this rank? Where does the Young Master rank?
It's got to be pretty close to the top 10. It's in my estimation, personally, I like this movie quite a bit. There's a little bit of a 20-minute drag, and the fight scenes still have a little bit of that 1970s stop-start action. But the start, you know, the actual moves are so fun, and that last fight sequence is so just brutal. And the bit where they like the bad guy, the main bad guy gets like sprung from like the police is so good. When he like gets up and just starts kicking the hell out of people, it's so good.
It's very spaghetti western, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great. This movie is, I don't know if it's, honestly, it's definitely proto Jackie. It's not, he hasn't found his perfect style yet, but it's still kind of there.
Yeah. This is my top five. I reckon this would be in my top five.
I'd say it's probably in my 10 best Jackies. I'll just add, I watched this and I actually watched, I had the Hong Kong Legends set of it, and it has an interview with Jackie and an interview with Master Wong Ek-sik, who's the bad guy. And I also watched or listened to the commentary by cinema expert Bay Logan as well.
Kong cinema expert Bay Logan.
Yeah, so I thought that would be interesting because I've seen it so many times that I thought it'd be interesting to listen to the commentary. So he's got quite a little bit of trivia and things as he does throughout it. So I'll throw some of it in. So it's not me being know-it-all, it's Bay being a know-it-all. I'll reference.
Hey, I got a question for you, Mikey. You saw it on the Hong Kong Legends DVD. I also own that. And I remember watching it and thinking the quality was actually quite good. The version I watched this time was on SBS, just on their streaming service. And the quality on that is also very good. And I'm interested to know whether the DVD looks good on a 4K TV.
I didn't put it on the 4K. I had it on just my 1080p. But I was using my Xbox Series X, so it was upscaling it because DVD is, what, about 480? to full 1080 progressive. So it did look quite clear and nice on that. So it does that thing where it fills in extra dots and stuff.
I also, if you want your actual question answered, though, Sam, I have the set that Mike and you guys got me years ago is actually all those copies, Hong Kong Legends copies.
Yep.
When I watched that, I didn't find it on, it was on SBS, you said, but I didn't find it in the action movie. So I knew I had it on a disc, so I just put the disc in.
That's DVD as well, was it?
Yeah, it was a DVD. Yeah. It's not a Blu-ray. But it was Hong Kong Legends. I watched it on my 4K. It looked fine. The white subtitles were a bit pixelated. The menus were a bit pixelated, but the actual quality of the image was fine.
Yeah, you're right. The menus were pixelated even on mine as well. So, I think that's just circa because this was, when was this made? Like
1980.
2007.
Oh, the DVD. So,
quite a while ago.
Is there actually? Are there the super DVD HD DVD versions of Jackie films? Are there Blu-ray?
Prints? Yeah, I mean, I've got Blu-ray version of Project A 1 and 2. And
oh, right.
Police Story 1, 2.
Yeah, I've got Police Story. Yeah.
Yep.
So Police Story, and I think that they're slowly running them out in, those, boutique
4K transfers, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of boutique places that are starting to run them out, but there are a few that, like, The Young Master seems like it should be in that kind of packaging at this point, but it's not.
It probably is on the list of ones that they'll do eventually, I think.
Have Criterion released a version of any Jackie films?
Yes.
Or? Oh, they have?
Yeah, there is a Jackie set from Criterion. I'm actually going to bring that up right now.
I got the Police Story one from...
But I think it's got the same stuff because Criterion only release in Region 1.
Oh.
But they usually do a deal with Eureka.
Yeah, I got the Eureka version of the Police Story set, but that's actually a 4K set.
Yeah.
So it's region free anyway. And Eureka is obviously for Blu-ray is UK and Oz, which is where we are. So
yeah. If you buy Eureka's and guess what's on Criterion? Police Story, Police Story 2 and the Police Story box set.
Yep. Yeah, wow. Okay.
At the moment, and I think that I'm sure there used to
it's exactly the one that I have from Eureka, yeah.
Nice. Well, there you go. And get yourself some HD Jackie.
Excellent transfers as well.
I think we watched the Blu-ray or the 4K, me and you, and at my house, Sam, and you're like, wow, you can really see the bad...
Yeah, we watched your Blu-ray version, yeah.
Yeah, it was Police Story 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I remember that. But yes, so do we want to kick off perhaps with some trivia on this, and then we go into our pitch? Sure. Probably got lots of trivia there, Mikey.
I do have lots of trivia this time. Not mine, but other people. So,
well, you weren't there, Mike. You weren't taking notes on the set. You were zero.
Exactly. So, do you want me to start? Or
We'll just do a few, eh?
Cool. So,
the most interesting ones that you can remember.
This is obviously Jackie Chan's directorial debut, and it was released on Chinese New Year. So, it's actually then kicked off his pattern of releasing a new movie on Chinese New Year for the rest of his career. So it just happened to be released on Chinese New Year. I don't think it was, only partly planned. And because it was successful, he kind of took it as an omen to do all the rest of his movies on Chinese New Year or release a movie on Chinese New Year as he went along. And the opening theme obviously shows Chinese New Year as it is with the lion battle at the start of the movie. So I thought
fantastic. That was kind of interesting. It's a fantastic lion fight.
Oh, when I first saw this, I just assumed that's how all lion fights went.
No.
So imagine my surprise when I went and saw one and they didn't do anything like that.
Yeah, you're just like, what the hell is this crap?
And here's just for our viewers as well, props to Bay Logan because he likes to go off on tangents about different subjects. So apparently the lion dance was introduced in the Tang Dynasty and they're not quite sure 100% exactly where it came from. One of the theories is that it actually originates in from Persia. So from traders from Persia bought some sort of version of the dance over. Because obviously there's no such thing as a lion in China. It's not native to China.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be called a tiger dance.
It looks it looks kind of like a dog almost.
But it is definitely a lion. And they obviously don't know what the lion's head looked like. So they just basically guesstimated.
He's made costumes. It up.
Yeah. And the other thing about the lion dance, it was actually traditional for kung fu schools to do it. But apparently in the olden days, kung fu schools didn't actually have their students pay them. It was considered distasteful. So the way they'd actually make money is they would participate in things like the lion dance for the money prize that you actually win by winning the actual battle at the end. So if you obviously fail to succeed, your school would be without some level of funding for the rest of the
Is that why that dude's so sad in this film?
Exactly.
Because, yeah, you missed out on money.
The money. So, yeah, I thought that was quite interesting.
I got a question for you. Have you ever seen a lion dance? And so these are the lions, obviously, in this film where they have the head and it's got like the coattails that you hide under, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the one where the guys are wearing like the lion's legs pants and they're kind of furry pants?
Yes. Yep.
Do you know?
I don't think I've ever seen it live. I think I might have seen it in a movie.
Yeah, okay. I don't know the significance of, you know, why.
I think it's just different styles.
Fancier costumes.
You know, different costumes and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
A bit more ornamental because it used to be more of a battle between the two, and that's what the fun part was, I suppose, back in the day. So.
Now, Mikey, you mentioned here this is his directorial debut.
Correct.
Am I right in thinking that this is the first movie he made without Lo Wei because he was contracted to Lo Wei prior?
So as the story goes, he signed the contract with Lo Wei and made a bunch of movies, so, you know, Snake and Eagle's Crane and Spiritual Kung Fu and all that.
Fearless Hyena?
Yep, and they didn't do that well, but he filmed them, obviously, in Taiwan, because that's where Lo Wei had his studio kind of set up. And then he got contracted out to work with Yuen Wu Ping, where he did Drunken Master. And that's where he bought the comedy Kung Fu and did really, really well. But he'd already signed a contract, the continuing contract with Lo Wei, and he wanted to get out of it. So he didn't want to work with him anymore. He wanted to do his own thing. So Golden Harvest offered for him to come and work at their studios and make films with them, and they would sort out the contract. But apparently, when he was actually making this movie, they hadn't actually come to a conclusion over the contract saga. So whilst he was filming us, they were going back and forth. And as an intermediary, they got Jimmy Wang Yu, who was actually good friends with Lo Wei. And he actually went as an intermediary between Golden Harvest and Lo Wei until they worked out a deal.
The one-armed boxer.
That's it. And that's the reason that he made some really crappy movies later on, like City on Fire and Fantasy Mission Force. That was repayment for Jimmy Wang Yu helping him out, getting out of the Lo Wei contract.
Yes, and, nice.
So a few bits of trivia again. So he'd been working with Lo Wei. If you look in this movie, you'll find a number of different actors and things that are in this movie who actually are from some of the Lo Wei films because he basically was starting making his own movie and he just got people that he knew to come and work with.
That's fair enough. He hadn't quite built his stunt team and everything around him yet.
Well, no. If this is his first directing debut, then it's not going to happen. Debut.
Exactly. And that includes the cinematographer, who was actually an ex-Shaw Brothers cinematographer. So hence some of the extreme close-ups and different...
I fucking love them in this film. They're so good.
They're good.
That's actually, from a ex-Shaw Brothers cinematographer.
Nice. What we might do is go into the pitch, and if you just want to drop some trivia as we go through the story, Mikey, feel free to jump in and crash zoom into our faces.
And then reverse and then crash zoom again.
Triple double take. So what we'll do is somebody who hasn't seen Hong Kong action films or maybe isn't aware of this film, just do a quick pitch on what to expect or maybe to sell somebody on this film. Nathan, did you want to go first?
Yes. This is the missing step between 1970s kung fu action and 1980s kung fu action.
That's actually a very good explanation. The jump between that stop-start and the kickboxing kinetic style.
Yeah.
Of the 80s, is that what you mean?
Yeah. It's very stop-start, but it also flows quite well. Also, it's inventive in a way that a lot of those other ones, the earlier ones aren't. And it's shot differently. Although this, I have to say, is not shot that well.
No.
Except for those crash zooms. It's kind of very flat.
Experimental. And it's funny. It's kind of one of those movies where there's like one really good shot followed by like some crap shots around it. Like there's one scene, I think, when Jackie's doing the dress fight, and there's a top-down shot that's really quite good. And then around it is like just flat, like not zoom, like not even zooming in or whatever, just not.
Oh, just like static, exactly. Wide, yeah.
Static shot rather than actually moving with
it. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with shooting action statically because at least you get to see it all.
Yeah, that's right.
But sometimes it can start to feel a bit flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mikey, do you have a pitch?
In the mountains where impact powder meets wire pools.
There's a lot of impact powder in this film.
Wins the day. Never give up. Never surrender. There you go.
All right. I'm going to say this is Drunken Master 1.5 because I watching this, it kind of is the precursor to Drunken Master 2. Obviously, he drinks a bunch of fucking tobacco juice at the end. But also the fight, some of the choreography of the fights is kind of replayed in Drunken Master 2. And I haven't seen one recently, so I don't know if it's replayed in that.
I reckon that this, the end fight scene, he wasn't 100% happy with it and he evolved it to be what the end fight scene is in Drunken Master 2 when he got there.
Didn't that take weeks, if not months, to shoot that last fight scene in this film?
In this one?
Yeah.
No, it was done over a few days. One of the things I was watching was the interview with Master Wong Ing Silk or yep. Wong Ing Thick, and he explained they would do like a few hours doing one scene and then come back and do another bit and just add them over a number of days. He said, but Sir Jackie would get really, really beat up because obviously the entire fight is basically him beating down on Jackie and just taking it. And he was explaining the thing that would happen was one day they would have the fight and he'd be throwing him down and kicking him down. And they're actually up on the mountains in the higher part of Hong Kong, in the natural part there. But of course, they're on a mountain track, so there's all little pebbles and everything else. So when he'd flip him, he's not flipping onto any padding or anything. He's going to the ground.
Rough.
So he'd come up with scratches and bruises, and the next day they'd have to put all makeup and powder to cover up all of these bruises and stuff from the day before's shoot. And he said it was really humid and sweaty, so they would come away like their outfits would be completely soaked in sweat by the end of them doing the shoot. For over that, so I believe it was done over quite a number of days, but not multiple weeks.
I thought it was ages because he was kind of lamenting the fact that he has time to shoot a perfect fight scene for something like this, or at least something he's happy with. Then he goes to Hollywood and he has like a couple of hours or whatever to kind of choreograph it.
But definitely had plenty of time and money. That was the thing with this apparently as well. So. There is a number of different cuts of this film. So the version that we all watched, because I think the SBS one is the Fortune Star copy as well, which is the Cantonese version. But there's a Cantonese version, a Japanese version, Taiwanese version, and an international release version. And apparently not any one of them have all of the footage that he actually made for this.
Yeah.
Because he had so much time, he made over 3 hours worth of footage. And Bay actually explained that sometimes in the Hong Kong movies, when you see something that doesn't quite make sense because it's being cut, a lot of the time they actually did film the bridging part of it, but it gets cut to make the time shorter on the movie. And the reason they do it for the Hong Kong audience is actually a lot of the movies are dictated to by the cinema chains in Hong Kong because they want to show so many matinees in a day and they require them to have them at a certain length. So they force them to actually cut the movie. So they had the power to actually make Golden Harvest cut a movie shorter.
We want to run this twice, not once.
Exactly. They want to run it like three times in a day or whatever. So you've got to have it this length of time. So they force them to cut it back. So it may not actually be what Jackie intended across the entire movie because it was too long. So they cut back and they cut back in little scenes and usually in the joining scenes. So I think in this movie, there's a scene where he's handcuffed from hand to foot.
Yes. And we don't see him get out of that.
And you never see him get out of it. But there's a shot of, obviously of him doing that, that was cut, etc. And there's other little things. Apparently, Bay explains there's a little in joke when they finally work out that Jackie isn't the bad guy, and he'd seen the bad guys in their meeting at that point. They took him back to like the sheriff's office, and they apparently in one of the cuts they actually show him paper drawings of different criminals for him to point out who it is. And as an in joke, this was released at the same time as a number of other movies were released. One of them being a Sam Ho's movie, The Magnificent Butcher, and a few other different movies by other stars. So they had the caricature of the criminals are actually Sam Ho and the other stars that released.
That's pretty funny.
At the same time, as a bit of an in joke. So yeah.
Actually, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
The DVD when you were watching it, I think it's this DVD. So people listening at home, if you do get can get your hands on a Hong Kong Legends DVD, it's got some great extras. But I remember there being a interview with Huang In-sik, Master Huang In-sik. Yep. Was that on this DVD? And it kind of shows him.
Mike was just talking about it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, does it show him doing the demonstrations of Hapkido though?
It shows. Yeah, so they filmed it in Canada at his. He actually still. Well, if I don't know if he's still alive. He was alive in 2007, obviously, and he was still running.
He's still alive. He's 82.
Okay, so. Yeah, so he runs to this day in Canada his own martial arts studio. I think it's like Eagle Hapkido or something.
Do you know what blew me away? Was that he was the holds that he was doing on people just looked like he wasn't even doing anything and they were just writhing in agony.
Falling over in agony, yeah. That's definitely on there. So yeah, you see him, all these young people.
So good. Good.
Sorry, mine's come up saying error problem solving. Like,
Uh-oh. Just says it seems to be backup. Working. The backup's still going.
Oh, just I'm still going.
Local backup, so it's cool. Yeah. Okay, yep.
So, do you want to go through the plot a little bit? Not that there's much of one.
We'll just do the setup, eh? And then we'll kind of go through the big moments. So, Jackie is he's an orphan. He and his brother, well, Jackie is obviously called Dragon because he's called Dragon in every film. And his brother's called Tiger. And they are orphans, I guess, in a martial arts school. Everything looks like Poachy Lamb. There's a fat guy that looks like Magnificent Butcher Wing. So, it's, you know, it's really playing on all of those tropes. And they're training, you see, for a lion dance, as we said before, to make money for the school. And Tiger is kind of – Tiger's the prodigal son, I guess. Tiger's the one who is supposed
to – He's supposed to lead. He's supposed to take over.
Yeah. And, you know, the master is not shy about saying – you know, Dragon's a piece of shit. We put all our hopes in Tiger. The master really is a bit of a prick. He's a prick to all of his students. Probably worse to Dragon and Tiger because they're orphans. And it seems like all the other students are paying tuition, I guess. So is that?
I believe he's played by Tian Feng. Is that right?
Tian Feng.
And Tiger was also one of the five deadly venoms. He was Snake in the five deadly venoms movie.
So a good-looking young man, Tiger. But the thing is that he injures himself early on, but it actually turns out that he's faking it because he's getting paid by a rival school to do the lion dance for them, which you don't find out until they do the lion dance. And obviously Jackie is the backup, so he has to take over and finds out that it's his brother. Now, Jackie being the, I don't know, what is he? He's the loyal...
He's loyal to his brother, but he's also a goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything, does he? He kind of keeps it to himself.
He hides it. He actively doesn't tell the master, doesn't tell Master Tien, and he also hides the prostitute. Like, it sounds like he's his brother's lackey in all ways.
I'll just, Bay made this point as well when I was listening to the commentary. It's sort of his opinion, and I'll second the opinion because I had to think about it after he said it. He goes, Tiger's actually an asshole through the entire movie.
Oh, yeah. He's like, a spoiled piece of shit.
Why would you even go out and help him? There's like no real plot device that gives you even reason other than
there is a very important plot device, Michael. Brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
That, yeah, but it doesn't even seem like there's no like setup in the beginning of them being bros other than saying that they are.
Yeah, you don't see that, but he does. It's one of those terrible moments in a Hong Kong film, which is a tell, don't show. Where when he's like, I'm going to go find him when he leaves to go and redeem himself, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
He tries to sell it through his talking.
Yeah. I mean, it's implied that I assume that Jackie's the younger brother. And
he
I
is,
find that
I think.
It's kind of implied that Tiger looked after him growing up. So, mm-hmm. Dragon feels a little bit kind of beholden to him.
Yeah, it's also, Confucianism, we don't know about those things. Well,
no, well, that's right. It's partly a cultural thing as well. But in any case, Tiger is disgraced because Jackie's still trying to cover up for him, but the master kind of sees through all that shit and then kicks Tiger out.
Yeah.
It's very dramatic, actually. It's very, what's the Shakespearean type overacting melodrama, pushing.
Yeah, it's melodramatic.
It is, which goes on. It goes on a lot longer than I remember. Because I remember things kind of moving along a bit faster than them actually having all of these dialogues. And Jackie having his righteous face, when he's telling his master off. It just seemed to drag the first bit.
It did. Well, it did drag. It drags a little bit, but it's really only about 20 minutes.
It just felt longer.
Yeah, because I hate to say it, but at this point, even now, I don't think it's unfair to say, but Jackie's not a great actor. Especially right here, he's not a great actor. And, none of the dramatic stuff pays off, so it's not really that important. And they're just kind of setting everything up. It's also the scene where they're setting everything else up. So Tiger goes to the people who he was working with to...
The rival school.
They tell him, you can't come on with us. And then he gets drawn into, they are part of the other school, but they're, the disreputable part of the other school who are in league with... what's his face? Shit. Huang
and Chick.
Yeah. They're in league with him with a crew of pretty cool bad guys. They're all mini bosses.
Yeah.
And
true.
And Tiger gets in with them because he just needs cash. He's just left. He's homeless at this point, right? So he gets in with them. But he seems pretty cool with the idea of being a bad dude.
He has no morals, does he?
Yeah, he's totally fine with just I'm gonna get in with these killers. You see Huang, and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's probably bad news. That guy's probably killed a lot of people.
He's chained on a wagon, arms and legs, spread eagled. So he's probably not a cool dude.
No, well, he's probably, he's either not a cool dude or the coolest dude.
It's it's one of the better intros of a bad guy, isn't it? In Hong Kong movies where you just know that he's a badass because they have to chain him down on a wagon.
It is. It's very cool.
Fuck, so good.
Do you know what? I reckon if Silence of the Lambs had been out, they would have put a muzzle on him as well.
Yes.
Well, no, I thought that while I was doing it. I was like, he is being introduced like a serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't know what he's done. You don't actually know what he's done.
But he's done something crazy. Or alternatively, he was just caught with the wrong fan.
Yeah. Wow. This is true as well. The other thing I'll just add surrounding it, this is, as we were saying earlier, Jackie's directorial debut, and I was watching the interview with Jackie itself, and he was explaining what he was thinking in the scene, and what he was saying, what he really wanted to portray was how strong the bad guy was at this point, and he was trying to think of different ways that he could portray that in the film, and that's why... in the fights, they're using lots of impact powder, because he felt on film when you see the punch and it hits, and the powder just transfers how strong the dude is when he's fighting in these moves.
And lots of people being ratcheted.
Yeah, the other thing you noted is with this, normally they speed up the camera a bit when they're doing some of the punches, so they can hide some actors when they're not, quite as proficient, or show the hits being faster and therefore more powerful. He didn't actually speed up that at all. That master Wong Ik Sik was so fast.
Wait a minute. Are you going to tell me there's nothing sped up in this film?
Nah, they sped up film.
There's different things sped up, but in this bit here, when the hits to them, the hits that he's doing on, there's one sequence he showed exactly with when he hits three people, he actually hits them in sequence, and that's one shot of him going bang, 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 and that's at normal speed. That's just how fast he is and precise with his hits. So it's actually a very impressive work from Master Wong Yik-Sook. And they also note that lots of the actors misjudged how strong he was from the hits, because they're not wearing padding and stuff in these days.
Yeah, that's right. They're just shirtless mostly.
Yeah, and some of them in Jackie actually had to stunt double in some of the hit scenes. So when you see them like turn and do flips over onto their backs and they cover their face up like a good stuntman does to protect, that's one of the shots where the dude backs and cartwheels onto his back and his face is sort of covered up. That's actually Jackie getting hit because the stunt
guy he was stunt doubling.
Couldn't actually do the flip around, so he stunt doubled in his own movie where he was the star and directing just to make sure they got the shot that he wanted.
Oh, shit. Is something trying to escape out of some styrofoam?
Yeah, that was me. Like sorry. Something fell down. It's okay.
Actually, I have a separate piece of trivia about Master Huang In Sik. He was one of the bad guys in Way of the Dragon, the Bruce Lee film. I was trying to remember which film it was. Way of the Dragon, the one with Chuck Norris.
All right.
And he's one of the bad guys, and he fights Bruce Lee. And I think it was actually Bay Logan who mentioned this in the special edition I watched. But he said, Master Huang In Sik is actually obviously a very accomplished martial artist, but it was a Bruce Lee film, right? Yep. So with Bruce, when he shoots himself, he frames himself in a way that's obviously very complimentary to him to make him look good. But then when he showcases someone else like Master Huang In Sik, he uses kind of him slightly off frame. And, you know, so he kind of shoots him in a way that's not as flattering. But they did note that he is obviously a very good martial artist. So you could see the moves that he was doing. He just wasn't given the spotlight the way that Bruce was.
He was, is it Game of Death when he goes through the different levels?
Yes.
And he's also in that as well. He's the boss on the second level of Game of Death.
Yeah, nice.
Cool. But just going, like, we're just going through the sort of the plot. So his brother leaves. There's some stuff where they just get, like, the school gets sort of demoralized. And then Jackie's like, I'm going to go find my brother. You guys, you know, the Master Tien gets all shitty with everybody, and then Jackie jumps on that hand grenade and he says, I'll go find him. And then his master has a change of heart and says, here, take my fan, go find him and bring him back. And that's essentially where the rest of this movie is just fights.
Yeah.
So the first fight he actually goes, because he goes to the other school to see if he's there, and he ends up opposed to the
Bill.
Bull.
Well, he's credited as Bull. But in the movie, he's subtitled.
Definitely called Bill in our subtitles.
Yeah. Oh, really? Apparently, it depends on the cut, and one is called Bull, and one of the other is called Bill. So
it's an actor called Mei Xing Fan.
He's pretty cool. I've seen him in other stuff.
He's the
definitely in lots of other stuff.
Yeah. Is he part of Jackie's stunt team?
No. But he actually worked with Lo Wei a lot.
Oh, okay.
One of the players that came over.
He's very funny in this. Actually, I like him in this.
Yeah, he's a good time.
It's a good fight, and it incorporates the fan as well. And yeah. This we talk, I think, in our Dragon Lord one, we talk about his Guinness World Record for, you know, the single shot trying to get
most takes,
the most takes to get him when he's kicking the I wouldn't call it the shuttlecock, bit in the start. Apparently, this is also one of his very very long takes to get him flipping the fan and catching it,
kicking it off his goddamn foot.
Yeah. Apparently, one of the shots took him over 300 shots to get that shot. And because he had, time and resources to actually do it until he got what he exactly wanted. And Bay commented that the funny thing was he then makes Anita Moy do a similar fan take in, I think it's Drunken Master 2. She does same thing, and he made her go through so many shots to get her to do the flip right as well. It's just a bit cruel.
It's funny how he has such a dedication, like a perfectionism, right? But the characters that he's portraying on screen are kind of very lackadaisical.
Well, it shows you where his motivation is, right? It shows you where his passion is. His passion is not with fucking dragon. His passion is how can we get like it, these early films, especially this Project A Part Two. He's definitely trying to move the medium forward. I almost like, this is going to sound like not wanky, but like probably a misread of the film. But like this particular fight, incredibly stop start, but very specific, right?
Mm.
How much further can a stop start fight go than this? Right? And at the end, it's not a stop start fight. Anytime Huang's on the screen, it is not stop start. It is fluid. Mm. So yeah,
I know what you mean. It's kind of like Wizard of Oz. You're going from black and white to color.
Exactly. By the end of this film, you can see modern martial arts films.
The funny thing as well, and I think I mentioned this to Nathan offcast, is this is one of the rare films where Jackie, as the hero, actually gets worse as the movie goes along. It starts off with him doing this really intricate line dance and then the fan fight, and then each different fight, he kind of gets a little bit less intricate in its choreography, and
he loses form, and is not rigid, not
lazy as such, but yeah, it gets worse throughout it, because most of the movies that he's done before this, he'd get beat up and then he'll learn, you know, the secret technique of whatever it is, drunken master, you know, he gets his drunken boxing form, and then the final fight will be him using that to beat the bad guy, etc. This is the opposite. He starts off being the awesome one that's leading the line dance, and then by the end he's just like bullying his way through the final fight and so forth without any extra secret technique or anything. And apparently that didn't translate well to some of the audience, because they were expecting the opposite. They were expecting him to get, you know, better and so forth.
Instead of martial arts rules, it's anime rules.
Yeah,
he just wants it more, so just he becomes more powerful.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And another thing that Bay said, it's kind of like he doesn't know if this was the case, but he was saying Incredible Hulk, the TV show, was kind of big at the time. And
he was acting
like, rawr, like I'm just going to bash my way through. So they kind of take little bits that are popular in the culture at the time as well. And
I also, there's something about that last fight sequence where he goes from, we're gonna do this, and Huang's just like, no, we're not gonna do the stop start thing. We're gonna do this like in a different way. And honestly, that fan fight does feel like this is the best you can do with the stop start shit. This is as good as it gets.
Absolutely, yeah.
Pinnacle. Like, yeah. This is the peak of the form. We're gonna have to change. And by the end of the movie, it's different. But in that last fight sequence, there's a bit where you say he's like, he loses all his form. He just becomes like a super strong, you know, rage dude.
Yeah.
I just also like, if I was watching it for a bit there, I was just like, it's like a. For half the fight, it's like the button masher can't figure it out, and then the button masher learns like one thing.
Yeah, exactly. This is the only way I can win.
It's funny, actually, now that you mentioned that with the stop start with the fan, the fan fight feels less like a fight and more like a comedic ballet with props.
Yeah.
And it suits it.
I think he's making a point. Honestly, I can't guarantee it, but I think he's making a point.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Do you know what I would want to know, Ashley? How they get volume and wave in their hair. Because as somebody who's Asian...
The 70s eye.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. As somebody who's Asian, if I grew long hair, it would be dead flat and straight and I'd look like a girl. How are they getting volume and body and wave into their hair? Are they getting it?
Some type of product.
If you want, Sam, you should ask Renee about hair product.
Just
do that one afternoon on a Friday where you guys aren't jam packed with work, and just go, hey, can I ask you about hair products? She will know everything.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to grow my hair out to get the wave to test it. But I've always wondered that. How does Jackie get that? His
so classic, good.
The wave, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about Mike, but my hair. My hair does that 70s wave thing, like, after I wash it and it's a little long.
It's just natural.
It's just natural.
When my hair was longer, yeah, it gets a bit of a curl.
Yeah. So you got the fan fight, fantastic fight, more of a humor dance than anything else. Yep. But again, going back to the idea, I'm not saying that I'm right on this, but, like, the other fights also seem to – you're right, and Mike's right too. He gets less about form and more about – function, but they also start getting shot in a more modern way. Mm. The the skirt fight, both of the skirt fights, and the bench fight. Also, they get, again, the bench fight initially, very, very stop-start. By the end, not so much.
You know what I'm noticing? Because I'm actually watching it now as we speak. The bench, I'm watching the bench fight where he first runs into Yunbiu. That's right, mm-hmm. The Bao is in this. He runs into Yunbiu, and the camera is incredibly dynamic, like way more than any Shaw Bros or Venom film. The camera actually follows the action. Like mm-hmm. when Jackie does a roll, it actually zooms in slightly and then zooms out when he comes out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like not a one shot because they do cut.
There's a lot of cuts.
Yeah, but they do hold it for long enough that they're actually able to follow the action. And it's very cool. It's very good to watch.
Yeah. I wouldn't say this is his first. He's not doing stunts yet, but there are like the wall climb.
Yeah.
So yeah. He's starting to feel all that stuff out. But let's we know the plot, right? Like yeah. He goes and gets his brother. His brother gets him with a bad lot. They free this dude. There's a bit of a miscommunication, a bit of a incorrect identity kind of deal where Jackie Chan is mistaken for his brother. He has to fight the marshal of the police and the Bao, who is his bro. I mean, his son.
His son, yeah.
And his daughter as well. And then, you know, there's a bit of stuff there as well. Then they find out that they're going to rob, the bad guys are going to rob a bank. You find out the bad guys are going to like stitch up and have and use the brother as a patsy. We have Jackie Chan go back to find his brother. He stops the bad guys. The police arrest the bad guys. He brings he gets his brother out, but he says, look, you know, well, actually this bit is missing, but essentially I think they say, I'll hand over my brother, but you know, well, I won't hand over my brother. You should let him off, you know, be nice about it. I call it the bad guys. And he's like, no, you got to go catch Huang. So, and that's the 25 minute fight scene at the end, but all of that is fights. Literally that one sentence, each thing I just said, that's all you get.
And we're very thankful for that.
Yeah,
They had a little bit of the comedy bits in between. So they have, obviously, as you're saying, that there's a bench fight with the Bao, and then he ends up getting arrested by the sheriff, and they do a little bit where he falls into some quicksand.
Yeah, there's also the bathroom sequence and also the marginal escape funny. Sequence with the Bao.
Yeah,
But,
and then the dress fight scene. Oh, there's a couple of tidbits here. So Lily Lee is the daughter, and she does a lovely. It's called a hidden dress
kick technique.
Kick technique.
Where no shadow kick.
Yeah, they flow the dress so it covers the vision of the person, and they can't tell where the kick's coming from. There's obviously a fake leg that's used at one point.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Technique when she's holding it up. But most of the kicks, and when you see just from the body down, it's actually the Bao who's
yes, body I did. Doubling for it. I did see that. There's a couple, and they do it very well, but I was watching for the face, and I did notice that it was the Bao.
It is the Bao because obviously he at this time he was a very prolific stuntman doing anything acrobatic that needed to be done in the movie. So he would go from movie to movie to movie, even though he's actually starring a bit in this one, and do all of the most acrobatic things that needed to be done because he was basically the only one that could do them.
he's definitely got a featuring vibe in the this featuring? Film.
I mean, I'd say he's almost a co-star, but I wonder if he got paid extra for doing all these little bit parts outside.
Oh, probably. I mean, obviously he's Jackie's brother, so he would do it anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, to that level. There's also the other point I'll add, when Jackie then appropriates the dress fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is actually one.
That's actually the Bao doing.
Serious?
In that as well. That Jackie.
Every time you can't see the face.
Yeah,
no.
Bao doing it as well, and Bay made the point. He said, and because he'd spoken to some of the actors around this, saying it's not. They're not saying that Jackie couldn't have done the moves.
In no
the
shit.
They're making the point that because they're filming so much and doing so many long hours, sometimes the actors get so tired that they don't want to have to stay and do all the intricate things for hours at a time to get everything right. So they just sub in a stunt double at different points where it doesn't matter too much. just to give them a bit of a break. So that was just them giving Jackie a little bit of a break in that intricate footwork bit and letting the bow do it.
I suppose he already did it once in when he was a girl. So.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's going back to your other earlier point where he sort of loses his ability and it's not like learn a new skill. He does learn one just to prove he can do it.
Yep, yep, there you go.
Because that's what he does. He goes, he's like, he's fighting those two guys and then he's just all of a sudden like, there's a lot of like material around here, a lot of textiles, dress.
Dress, I'll go with that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because that's such,
and that's the bit that's the best in the movie where he's doing that with the dress part, and he's also doing the comedy fight as well because he's yanking on that dude's very random mohawk.
he's dancing like he's dancing on the pole. He gets his nuts. He gets a nut shot.
That's very funny.
He's hiding his. He's acting like he's getting beaten, but he's actually beating them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all there. It's very good.
You know, I will say, I actually watched this with my 10-year-old son. And
perfect James, age, I think.
Oh, he loved every second of this. And he actually got, like, a lot of what was going on. But the shit where he falls and smashes his balls on the... That was a riot. It was very, very funny. Hey, I was going to ask you, do any of you guys recognize who the marshal is?
Oh, fuck. I did recognize him a lot. I don't remember his name.
So his name is Qian Shi, but he is Mr. Han from fucking Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, I did know he was. I did recognize him from Enter the Dragon.
I was like, wow.
He's from a couple Enter of the other Dragon. Things about crossovers. In here, when they go to the tea house set, it's exactly the same tea house set that's on Magnificent Butcher because they were filming it at the same time and they both used it. And many of the secondary actors in it are actually in Magnificent Butcher as well.
Have we got a metaverse situation going on?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a joined universe.
And one, the sheriff's house is actually done up a little bit, but it's actually the morgue from Magnificent Butcher. They just decorated it a little bit differently.
I mean, that house did not look like a house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then some of the other things out in... the nature part of Hong Kong at the back. It's where there used to be some farms out there, so they grabbed a couple of different abandoned buildings and just used them. They use them in many, many movies because it's such a great area because there's hardly anyone around and there's lots of these abandoned buildings that they can use for their shots and stuff. And the bit where he's climbing up the rope and stuff is an abandoned church, which is also in a number of other Hong Kong movies.
That little rope move that he did is fucking impressive. He pulls himself up a rope with his legs sticking out like in an L shape, pose. That's nuts.
This is crazy, but we could spend 2 hours talking about 60 minutes of film, 3 hours even maybe.
Yeah.
Because this is all fights. It's all interesting to watch. But let's get to the fireworks factory, bros.
Let's go. All right. You want to jump straight in?
The final fight scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a masterpiece. It felt a lot longer than I remember, but it really is nice to watch.
You can watch everything. Everything is easily digested. It's understood.
I do like that they laid in the kind of meta story with the the other crook who's trying to rip off Wang Yinsik.
Well, they're saying overtly what you intimate from what's going on anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. With the so all crooks are just bad to each other and trying to rip each other off, etc. And so double cross. This doesn't pay to be a crook, does it?
Yeah, and he's also he tells the audience, like, you can watch what's happening, you can follow it easily enough, but he's also telling the audience what's happening. So he's like, all right, this bit's going to be about the legs. The next bit's going to be about the arms. there's going to be a lot of joints. You're going to try and wear him down. Then you're going to try, then there's going to be joint locks. Then you're going to get a third wind. He's going to steal the water at that point. Like he's essentially a commentator. He's like,
and it's set up kind of like a boxing match.
Yeah.
Where it goes around and then has a break by either getting knocked away and then having a drink of water or whatever, and then gets up for the next round, et cetera. And it's sort of sequenced out like that, isn't it? Across the whole fight.
I thought those joint locks looked fucking painful. I reckon he was doing them for real as well.
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah. As saying, there's no padding and stuff on the ground when they're flipping over onto the rocks and stuff. So that would hurt. Like,
and there's a lot of let's put this thumb here and make you flip.
Yeah,
absolutely. There are a few shots of using wires. So they did use some wires to do pullbacks on some of the hits, like when he does the kick,
look,
pulling you really far.
By the end of it, you can see that it's a dummy. It's fine. Yeah. There's allowed to be a little bit of movie magic.
Absolutely.
I will say, though, when they use that dummy, there is a scene where the dummy's on the ground and the arms were moving a bit, or it looked like the arms were moving a bit, and it looked like a real person. So there you go, fooled me.
So,
well, they could have intercut, I suppose.
Oh, my God. It's so good, though. It's like they start it, he gets there, he's like, and it really, it to me, it feels like a boxing match. It feels like a 2D fighter. It feels a lot like a 2D fighter for me. It feels like by the end of it, someone's got the hang of a new game.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's not stop start. It doesn't even try to be that way. It's from the get go. Huang is throwing that. He is doing kickboxing, throwing him around. And then it moves through the different things. Oh, okay, so his legs are too good for you. Try his arms. And he's like, nope, that doesn't work either. it's so good.
He's actually kicking with his left foot.
Yeah, and he makes that point.
He's very good, and I wondered if he was actually left-footed, but he is super agile with that foot. He's doing like multiple kicks, holding it up.
He's incredibly accurate with it as well, and that's why it's so good to in the movies, because he could put it wherever they need it. On the body and stuff, and hold back with the power or go with the power in the hit as well.
Ah, so good.
There's actually the fight scene where he escapes off the wagon. There's a scene where he basically does a roundhouse, kicks one of the stuntmen in the face, and the stuntman does a flip. But then before the stuntman lands, he kicks him again.
Oh, so good.
So good.
So yeah, it's so much fun. The fight scene is just great. I like the little Weasley guy interjecting him to tell him what to do. And I like the fact that he does take up that advice later on. He attacks that leg. When he finally gets good, that's the thing he goes for. And he's like just punching it real fast. Yeah, he's doing his little one-inch punches. I figured out the A button. I've just got to keep hitting this A button. I'm in somehow. I've just got to get his energy down to half.
Yeah, it's like one of those quick time events. You got to keep pressing the button. There's actually the funny bit, and he does this a lot. Jackie does this a lot with fights where he gets really petty, and he just kind of like pinches the leg and just twists it.
Yeah, he gets one of those nerves in that leg, and he's just like,
because he's not going to win on skill.
No. He's going to win with his youthful ability and his tenacity.
Yeah, his tolerance of pain. Because. Yeah.
His tough guy bit at the end when he's beaten up both Master Wong and the other weird, I forget what the dude's name is.
The uncle.
The other bad guy, the uncle guy. And then he decides to carry them back to town on a pole across his back with two bodies on, and he's absolutely drenched with sweat.
That's so good.
Lifting up two guys, just walking all the way back into town. Carrying these two bad guys.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. Okay, so this is definitely the best fight in the film.
Yeah, right? 100%.
It's one of the best fight scenes of all time, right?
How choreographed is it?
Because a lot, I'm assuming? Well,
absolutely. They'd shot, as you were saying, it was over multiple days and doing different bits, and then they've cut it together. Imagine the actual footage of them doing it over those days, there would be like hours of reel.
It's him kind of running into a wave and just getting the absolute shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It would have had to be choreographed because he's got to react to all of the moves that he's done.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be wires to pull him because most of those end with him getting
kicked away,
ratcheted or kicked really far away.
I don't know how they set up the wires on the top of a mountain. Do you know what I mean? Like, is it just a bunch of guys?
Because they can't just scrub them out with graphics, so they have to blend it in with different things. When earlier Jackie on his interview actually mentioned when they do the bit where they first meet Wong and they pull some of the stuntmen away, they'd sort of loop the wires behind the trees in the background.
So yeah.
Sort of see them. So they sort of pulled them that
way. To lever them back.
Exactly, but out on the mountaintop, you can't really do it as much. So I suppose it's just
using. They just keep them out of frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as much as possible.
I don't know why they're fighting on the patch of dirt and rock when there's grass around. Like what?
Let it go. Let it go. Magic. Movie magic.
Movie magic. I guess so it adds many to.
Movies fight scenes are on that spot as well.
It also gives them an excuse to have impact powder all over them.
That's true.
Yes. That's true. Right. Yeah.
I do like the costumes.
So, I don't know. Like, I had a thought a second ago, but it has gone right out of my head after hearing Mike talk about the ratcheting. It's so good. Okay, so in all time, yeah, it's probably up there too. But if you remove this fight sequence, which other fight sequence do you think is the best in this film?
Well, I actually really like that skirt fight that he has with the two henchmen.
Your two henchmen one, not the one where it's used against him?
No, yeah, the two henchmen
I like
one.
The henchmen one better because of the comedy infused into it, because it, when it's just, you know, the girl versus or the bow versus him. With that, it's an interesting display, but it loses it itself a little bit.
Okay,
there's some funny gags. Like, the gag where he's holding himself up, and then one of the henchmen smashes the legs of the other henchman.
Yes. I thought
it was very funny.
Under the skirt, yeah, was good. just thinking back to it now, but again, like that was a good one, and I really like the fan. One as well when he's flipping the fan. That's really good.
I like the fan. I'm actually, I remember really, really liking the bench fight as a kid and as a teenager. I didn't particularly, I thought it wasn't the weakest. I think the weakest is the fight where he fights the marshal with his like pipe.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the weakest. It's funny. It's funny as hell, but it's definitely the weakest fight.
Yeah.
But I really used to like that bench fight, and that did not stick out to me. This time, you're right. It's the fight with the two henchmen that really sticks out. I also, if I had to be completely honest, I think it's the one where they free Huang.
Yeah, that's a really good fight.
That is definitely.
It's the one without Jackie in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's behind the camera more on that one.
Well, he did that, but he was also the stuntman.
Oh, yeah, he was stuntman.
In a few of the different things, so he's directing it, but. As you said, and he really thought about how he wanted to do it as well. So I think that was probably the one that he gave the most thought to almost.
I think that one has the most, the best setup and the best, like, I don't
think it's the one, you know, this might sound crazy. It's the one that feels like it's almost trying to be a Western.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, but it almost gets it. It almost feels like if they could have carried that through the entire movie, it would be probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh my God, we need to make a Western martial arts film.
I suppose Kung the other Fu. Thing is that, like most Hong Kong movies, I mean, this is co-written by Jackie as well, but basically the way they make them is he comes around and thinks up different things, and he has a bunch of writers that are on set, and they sort of write that into the Hong Kong plot. So he visits somewhere or whatever and comes up with what he's going to do with the shots and so forth before they do it, and then they just kind of write that into the movie. There's no like ongoing script where it was always going to happen that way, etc. It's just what sort of occurs to them on the day or in the week or when they're filming.
Yeah, but that particular sequence, like, it's shot even in a particular way. Like, I'm not saying it was on purpose necessarily, but that's shot in a different way than they've got like a bunch of like really specific vibes going on there. The idea of a wagon being pulled through like kind of an area. It's like a prison break, which is
they
very...
They make it hot.
They make it hot looking.
Yeah.
And then they got the crash zooms. And yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's too perfect for it not to be thought of that way, I don't think. But anyway, great film.
No, I think it's really good. I was thinking of stunts that I wouldn't want to do, shit stunts, and probably the arm locks. I would not want to be put in any of the arm locks that he gets put in the end.
Mike?
That would hurt a lot, yeah. I was just trying to think of things that I wouldn't want to happen to me. I wouldn't really want to try and crawl up the wall only to climb up the wall that lap like he does, levering off each side only to get up to the top and have the guy there. It was all for nothing, all for naught.
Yeah. There's a lot of painful kicks and punches in this film, but I think the thing I've been deathly afraid of since I was two is quicksand.
Oh, yeah. Hey, was that shit or was that mud?
I assumed it's quicksand. It's supposed to be quicksand, which in movies is like some grit in some water.
Well, yeah, he called exactly. it the Highwayman's Dunny, so I wondered whether it was shit.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty gross. But you can get out of a shithole.
Yes, yeah, true.
Well, this is true. And I did like the other bit earlier in the film where they had the little kid peeing in the water and then Jackie noticed. the other bad guy didn't notice and he used the water to
Oh, it. Shit. I didn't pick up on that. Oh, very man. Nice. So is that the guy with the cross eyes?
Yes, yeah.
That
is also a great fight where they find him in
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah, with the swords.
And he just keeps taking their sword. His particular... Yes. Oh, it's so good. So good. And we just didn't even
character.
Mention it.
Filled with yeah. character. That cross-eyed guy keeps taking all of his henchmen's swords and yeah. Jackie keeps taking them. That's so filled yeah. with character. It was so good.
And there's like the little prayer bit in there because he fucks up the God of War.
Yes, yeah.
It's right. it's so good. And we didn't, like, we were going through this movie and we didn't even think about mentioning it. We're like, didn't even make a
there's
dent.
So many.
Little
there's so many.
That I yeah. added into that little scene when I was watching it was all of the swords have black gaffer tape around as the handle on them, and apparently that's a common thing that they use throughout the industry because they worked out over the years of what's the best material because everyone gets sweaty when they're doing all these fight scenes, and you, even though it's a blunted sword, you still swing it around and it's prone to fly off, fling off and hit people. And they figured out that the gaffer tape was the thing that was going to absorb the most moisture and the best grip. So that's why they've all got the little black binding around the handles of all the swords.
Okay.
Jesus.
It's interesting. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of that Simpsons bit where it's like, what do you do for a horse? We tape a bunch of cats together.
True.
You know, I was going to say, what would you do at home? Do this at home. I'll share with you what James was doing after he watched this film. So after he finished watching this film, we said, oh, it's time for bed. And you know that scene at the end where Jackie's throwing himself on the ground?
Yes.
Yes, that's what he was doing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then he goes, I'm Jackie Chan. And I'm like, no, you're not. Just injuring yourself on the ground.
I'm really glad that your kid likes the film.
Oh, he loves it.
Because at his age, I had a real, not for this particular film, but I was watching, you know, 70s kung fu films. And I remember for this one feeling a little, when I was his age, a little boring.
Yeah, right.
There was a little bit too much, like talking and old-timey shit for me.
You know, you're right. And if you were to compare this to the incredible set pieces of like a Shaw Brothers film, you know, where mm-hmm. they've got the colors and they've got Da Meng and all of this other shit. yeah, you know, like they've got an incredible visual feast. Mm-hmm. Whereas this isn't that. This is more kind of...
This is straight.
Acrobatics. Yeah, it's very straight. The martial arts is great. But
yeah, the martial arts, as I said, I feel like it's becoming the kind of martial arts you kind of just enjoy. But I remember as a kid about his age watching this and a couple of other Jackie Chan movies, I think like things I like now, like Fearless Hyena, and even I think maybe even the original Drunken Master way, way, way back then, and just being like, these are kind of boring. Like yeah. where's Police Story 2? But this watch of this movie has really reinvigorated my love of this particular film. Like,
I always had this and Dragon Lord together in my head, like because I watched them similar time, and obviously this, and then he made Dragon Lord next and stuff. And I always remember liking Dragon Lord better than this.
Oh, really? You prefer Dragon Lord to this?
I think it was only because of the spectacle of the first bit. But now I'm watching it again, going, oh, see, this has got quite.
This has got way more action, I reckon.
Essentially the last hour is just a nonstop fight sequence or a comedy bit.
Yeah, and I can't really remember why I liked Dragon Lord better, because I remember in Dragon Lord, that fight scene at the end in granary or whatever the hell.
Isn't that Huang In Sik as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Fuck, it's been a while since I've watched that. Maybe that's just as good as this and I should give it another go.
Well, we did it for the podcast.
We've already done it for the podcast.
Was I on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
The best parts of that film are
that
the first
scene. That was 2017.
That did not hit me like this hit me.
Nah, this is really
exactly.
good. That's what I mean. Like, the Dragon Lord is actually a bit slow. It's really only got that egg sport thing at the beginning. and then the fight scene at the end, and the rest of the film is just a romance.
Right. Yeah, and he's playing like a slacker in that one as well, rather than because he's like,
Literally, I forgot that I'd even seen it that recently, and by recently I mean apparently in the last 10 years. But like, yeah, you've said that, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that bit at the beginning. Oh yeah, I remember the romance. Oh yeah, that movie was not that great.
Yeah, like, now in my view, this is like more my favorite.
It's funny if you split them up in different thought processes, like this and then that, and then he takes out the pieces, and then he makes Project A, which is Project A's better.
I think Project A is probably his first. Like, this is
fleet
movie. This is the Jackie. This is the Jackie formula for 15 years.
Yeah, I've perfected the formula. Yeah, I agree.
This is still very prototypical. It feels like a prototype, but a good one. Like a much better prototype than Dragons. Like,
yeah. No, anyway. I agree. So yeah, so it sounds like we're all going around as thumbs up.
Yeah, oh, thumbs up. Very up.
Thumbs up movie. It's worth a watch if you have never seen it before.
Oh, I'd love to see somebody watch this for the first time who's never
seen Jackie Chan. If they've never seen this and they like Jackie Chan films, like if they're like, I really, really like Drunken Master 2, for example, a movie that's a decade and a bit, like 1991, so like 11 years after.
Yeah.
Like they like Armor of God and all that kind of shit, or like Wheels on Wheels. I know there's a lot of people that look at this as like one of those kind of older ones.
Mm.
Oh, of the older ones. Whilst I like the idea of some of them, Drunken Master is probably the only one that's really decent.
Yeah.
I always found like Low Ways ones really budget crappy compared to this. This was the first one I was like, this is way better.
Yeah, yeah. I just always kind of lumped it in with that. Yep. In my mind, I remember getting a bit bored as a kid, and you're right, the stuff in the, like that 20 minutes. Mm. And also I also remember like the bit at the house with the marshal going way longer as a kid. Mm. I watch it now. I'm like, this whole thing is just a fight sequence except for that bit where they're trying to be funny in the bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what my 10-year-old Nathan's problem was.
Yeah. Didn't understand the minutiae of all the shit that was happening.
I also don't think I appreciated the stop start as much as I do now.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Well, you got more patience now, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you're older, Nathan.
Yes. Yes. Thumbs up by me. Anyway, actually, as I started this, and I think I talked myself into actually putting in my top 10.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So this is a top 10 Jackie film, and when a top 10 Jackie film enters in the arena.
Yeah, it probably is getting at least to the top. It probably is going to win. we're going to have to see some amazing films for the rest of the year.
Yes. So
the year has half of it to go. Figure it out, year.
Yeah, that's right. We'll figure it out. So, yeah, anyone who hasn't seen this before and you do watch it for the first time, we would love to hear from you. Please drop us a message, AsianActionCast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram. Big thank you to the Kung Fu comrades, Nathan, Mikey. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, man.
And we'll probably catch you next time on the couch.
That's right.
Cool. Thank you.